compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
We are back, and we're going to go straight back to you, Mary and Marilyn. Thank you for being willing to hold over the break. We kind of got going on your conversation about your husband, and you're at your wit's end. He's, now correct me if I have anything wrong here, but married for 40 years or so, two now grown children. He is an alcoholic who just sort of wastes his whole day, every day, sitting in front of the TV drinking. And he doesn't help you. He doesn't respond to you when you ask him to, you know, get up and get going, you know. And you're at your wit's end. You've gone to counseling, I think you mentioned, but he wouldn't participate really. So you're sort of at your breaking point. Do I have it right?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. So here is where I was going to go with this. We talked about AA meetings, and you said he doesn't think he has a problem. Everybody knows he has a problem, but he's not willing to admit it. And so the idea of him darkening the door of an AA meeting is pretty slim, right? Because he just doesn't feel like he needs to do that, right?
Correct.
Okay. So you've tried everything, nothing works, and here you are. Try this.
Yep.
The church foresees situations like this where it allows what's known as a canonical separation. And the canonical separation can take place when the aggrieved spouse, you, for example, you've reached this point and he, in essence, a husband or a wife, it doesn't matter which, I mean, either one can do this, can forfeit their right to live together with the other spouse by certain things, drunkenness, abuse, adultery, crime, you know, if you had a meth lab in the garage or something like that. I mean, there are a lot of things that could happen. But it comes a point where if you just can no longer tolerate that persistent sin, you have a right as the aggrieved spouse to say, you have to move out. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because especially if alcoholism is his problem, and who knows, maybe he is clinically depressed on top of that. I have no way of being able to, you know, even determine anything like that. But my point is that maybe what he needs is to hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And until and unless he hits rock bottom and he realizes, well, this is crumbling through my fingers here and my wife is leaving, or at least my wife will no longer live with me, maybe that would jolt him enough that he would go to an AA meeting, go to confession, begin to change his life so that he can win you back. Now, I'm not proposing divorce. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting divorce. I'm hopeful that this marriage can be saved. I know you are even more than anybody. Yeah. But I wonder if maybe something drastic like that would be what it takes to get his attention.
Well, I agree with you. I thought the counseling was going to be the jolt that he needed, but apparently that wasn't enough. So
let me give you No, go ahead, Mary.
Sorry. It's okay. I just didn't realize there was something called canonical separation. So I appreciate that information. I'll look that up.
Yes. Let me do something better then. I'd like to refer you to an organization that can help you. They can give you information. They can give you advice.
Okay.
They're in a good position to do that. It's called marysadvocates.org. Marysadvocates.org. And it's a thoroughly Catholic, it's a small group of people. And the primary person is a lady whose husband basically just unplugged from the marriage and just walked out and took the kids with him. It's like, we're done.
Yep.
And she hadn't done anything wrong. She was just victimized by this situation. So she made it her life's work to really deeply understand what does the church say on these issues. A lot of it has to do with the problem of no-fault divorce and how unjust that is. But you're not at that point yet. We don't want you to get to that point.
I agree.
Yeah. But these good people at marysadvocates.org know exactly what you're going through, and they can give you sound advice on what are some things you could do to try to make the situation better so that you can save your marriage.
Okay.
Okay.
This is wonderful. Thank you so much. I was fearful to call, but I know I needed to, and I appreciate you taking my call. It's very helpful.
If I took only one call today, Mary, I would want it to be yours.
I appreciate that.
All right. Well, keep doing what you're doing. Keep your head up. Keep your chin up. Keep praying. Keep loving your husband. But, you know, he's getting away with nonsense, and you don't want to live that way, obviously.
No, it's getting really hard. I feel like it's just a boulder that I just can't seem to move out of the way. And
I think God, I mean, I'm speculating, but I'm pretty sure that God must be very pleased with your, you know, your long-suffering patience in the face of something like this. You know.
Well, I know there's a lot of suffering out there, so you know, I try to keep that in mind too. That mine is probably pretty minimal compared to some of the things I hear, you know, on your show. And
well, you have a heavy cross. You have a heavy cross, and if this helps you carry it a little bit more easily, I'm so glad. But I do think that there will be at least some good, helpful insight that you can gain from the Mary's Advocates people.
Okay. Terrific. Thank you. Right, thank Mary. You so much again,
You're
Patrick.
You're welcome. All right, God bless you.
Have a wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. And I sure hope, Cyrus, I really hope Mary calls us in 6 months and says, guess what? Everything's great. My husband's going to AA and we're back on track. What a wonderful thing that would be. All right. Well, let's see. Let's go now to Amy in Edwardsburg, Michigan. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Patrick, I just wanted to give Mary some encouragement. I had a similar situation. My husband, who struggled with alcohol for many, many years, really for 10 years, we worked on it hard. And he kept on telling me the same thing. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. Mm-hmm. I stayed really close to Christ through prayer, through saying novenas, through going to mass, getting on my knees, praying for my husband, for our situation. I also employed my priest in the recommendation from a Christiista. We went through a Crucio, both my husband and I. We had an anointment of the sick over him in a prayer service. And he went into recovery the next day and has not turned back. Upon getting out of recovery, he looked
God
for
bless
a
him.
Yeah. Just praise the Lord. He works with Catholics in recovery. And that program has saved him, I think. I think it keeps him on the straight and narrow.
That's good.
It'll be about 18 months now that he is alcohol free.
That's so great.
But I just really want to encourage her as a wife, and I also am approaching 38 years of marriage, that we did separate, but I still prayed. I prayed so hard for him and recovery. So
are you back together again now?
Yes, we are. Yep.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yep.
Congratulations. That website, by the way, everybody, is catholicinrecovery.com. If you're wondering what we're talking about right now, what Amy's referring to, catholicinrecovery.com. Did your husband plug into the parish-based Catholic in Recovery, or did he do it on his own? How did he do it?
So when he got out of recovery, he was actually looking for a Catholic in Recovery. The farthest one was about an hour drive, and because his issue involved driving, he didn't feel comfortable. So he actually helped establish one in our area.
Oh, very nice.
And is very active in it. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So, and that's you know, great. Catholics in Recovery, I want to mention too, it's not just for those with alcohol issues or addiction to drugs and things. It's actually for, you know, people that have eating disorders or any other kind of
pornography is
behavior.
A big part of it.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it can help so many people.
Yeah.
So, just thank you so much for taking my call. I deeply appreciate it. God bless you.
No, you're most welcome, Amy. Thank you. I'm so happy for you. What a victory.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, God bless you. Wow. That's fantastic. Well, I'm hoping that Mary's next call will be something similar to Amy's call just now. 888-914-9149. And by the way, Debbie, I was just about to press your button and go to you, but you hung up. So if you still want to be on the air, give me a call. We have plenty of other people waiting, though. 888-914-9149. How about Brad now in Chicago? Good morning, Brad.
Hi, good morning, Patrick. I'm calling in regards to Mary's call as well.
Yeah.
But I'm calling more so from the perspective of the adult children. I know Mary mentioned that she has some adult children, and I have a similar situation with my, mm-hmm. my father and mother. Alcohol is not involved, but very similar situation in the sense that lack of cooperation and lack of ability to really be motivated.
You mean both your parents or your father, or who's having
my father.
That problem?
Yeah. Okay. Just my father. Yeah. And it is very stressful on my mother. I've tried to help coach her and help her through that. But it is very difficult and trying. My father actually, because of his inaction and kind of lack of motivation, has actually, developed, some physical, impediments that actually make it more difficult for him to actually get around. But I really wanted to just mention to Mary, as she said that she had adult children, I wanted to, one, let her know that obviously she's not alone. Everyone here in the Relevant Radio family may have, somebody that they know that is struggling with something very, very similar. And don't be afraid to maybe involve or just confide maybe in your adult children. I know that sometimes is, you don't want to put a burden maybe on your adult children, or you don't want to make.
Or you don't want them to know. Sometimes, if I can interrupt, Brad, I think sometimes it's where the mom and the dad, being mom and dad, even though their kids are grown up, there's a sense of embarrassment. Like, we don't want our kids to know what's really going on, as if they don't know already. But I think that's a factor too, where, because they're still parents, they have a sense of, well, we want to either shield our kids from this, or we don't want them to know how bad things really are. That's another component as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I would encourage Mary to really, maybe if she does have, a relationship with her daughters, that she can confide in them and maybe, speak with them about it. Me as an adult child, my parents have come to me with that. My mother has come to me with that. And I'm more than happy to help figure out how I can support and better help them. I've encouraged my mother and my father to go to Mass together, set goals, life goals for themselves, because they are, up in their years and retired. Encourage them to really set goals that are shared goals amongst them. But don't be afraid to maybe help enlist the help of your children as well. We're here and we love you.
Point. What's the point, if I can ask this question, what is the sticking point for your dad? Because it sounds like he hasn't rebounded yet from this. What's holding him back? Or do you even know?
It's very difficult to figure out exactly what's holding him back. What I believe is my parents have carried the burden of just getting by for so long that they haven't
financially
really thought about,
or relationship
financially,
wise.
Yes.
Okay.
Financially. They've carried that burden financially for so long. They haven't necessarily set any goals for themselves as to what life and a fruitful life might look like in retirement. Mm-hmm. And now that they still, obviously are, not bringing in a ton of money or anything like that. They just kind of get by. I think they need a little bit more direction and a little bit more sense of purpose in their life. That's the best that I've got at this point.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's causing you some anxiety as well, wanting to do what you can to help them. Another thought that comes to my mind, especially if your folks are kind of strapped for their monthly budget, you, your siblings, I don't know how many siblings there are, if any, but that could be one form of almsgiving if you said, you know what, mom and dad, I'm going to take care of the electric bill from now on. You just send it to me, or I'll take care of the phone bill. In other words, you could do something to lighten the load a little bit And even something simple like that could give them a sense of breathing room, you know, like, well, our son is helping us with this bill. It doesn't have to be gigantic, but according to your own means, that could be a form of almsgiving for you as the son to step in and try to help alleviate their burden a little bit. So it's something to think about anyway.
Yeah, that's a great point, Patrick. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, you've been very forthright and on a very private, sensitive topic, but I think your comments have helped a lot of people, Brad.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for all the work that you do.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in today. Let's see. We're going to take a break, and I am going to go back to the phones. First, though, a couple of quick emails, then we'll take our break. This is from AJ in Albuquerque. Prayers for Mary. On this morning show, I heard Mary and her struggles with her husband. I'm in the same situation. You are in my prayers, Mary. You are not alone. Jesus, I trust in you. I don't know whether AJ is the husband or the wife, but AJ is certainly praying for you, Mary. I'm glad to hear that. I have a feeling a lot of other people are praying for you as well. And also, before we take our break, this is a note from Connie. She says, I pray every day and I say the rosary at least once a day. I pray for several things, but the most important is the conversion of my four children. They are Catholic, but not practicing. A couple of them don't have faith or even believe. My question is, should I only pray for their return to Christ? Are my prayers stronger if I only pray for one thing rather than several? Well, Connie, I have some thoughts on that. And you speak for a lot of people in a similar situation, that's for sure. So when we come back from this break, I will offer you my thoughts on this issue. Praying for your kids' return to the faith. What are some things you can do? What are some practical things you can do that I'll bet you haven't even thought of? I'll share those with you as well right after this. Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. Info at charitymobile.com.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now.
Learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down.
You may have been married for 6 months. You may have been married for 60 years, but whatever length of time it's been, chances are if you have kids, you've thought, like, what is going on with these kids? You know, they don't pray anymore. They don't go to mass anymore. They're not living the way we raised them to live. What is going on here? How did we fail? Do you ever feel that way? What did you do wrong? Where did you go wrong? What could you have done that you didn't do, etc.? Those are common second thoughts that a lot of parents have when their kids grow up and they just drift away. So I promised you I would share with you a few practical things. These are very simple practical things you can do, and very, very often they do work. Now, they don't necessarily work all at once, but they do work. So check it out. And I would say jot it down. If you have a pen or pencil, or if you prefer to put notes in your phone, I do that all the time. Just jot these things down. Number one, ask God to send a Philip into the life of your son or daughter, sons or daughters, or whoever the person is in your life. And this is drawing upon Acts chapter 8. Read that chapter where God sends Philip, presumably the apostle Philip. Some say it was the deacon Philip, but I think it was the apostle Philip. But in any case, God sends him miraculously out into the desert near Gaza, by the way, to meet up with an Ethiopian eunuch who's traveling in a chariot and reading the scroll of Isaiah and not understanding really what it's all about. So God mysteriously sends Philip there. He just like shows up and he asks the eunuch, he says, hey, you're reading that scroll of Isaiah. Do you understand it? And the eunuch says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So Philip climbs up into the chariot and he expounds on the scriptures and he explains to the Ethiopian eunuch, this is about Jesus. Well, who's Jesus? And he tells him the story about Jesus. And the man is so overcome that he has a conversion then and there, and he asks to be baptized then and there. He says, look, there's some water over there. What's preventing me from being baptized? So they climb down from the chariot. Philip baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch. He's praising God. And then suddenly, just like that, God sends Philip somewhere else. For me, that passage is very encouraging. I hope it is for you. I believe it will be for you. When you see your kids drifting away, just start asking God to send a Philip into the lives of your children. You know, if they won't listen to you, Mom, can we just not talk? No, we don't want to go to Mass when we come over for Easter. Can you just drop it, please? That kind of thing. And in some cases, it escalates terribly to the point where, listen, Mom, we're not going to bring the grandkids over anymore if you keep this up, kind of thing. That's a terrible thing for any child to do, but it happens. So if they won't listen to you, they won't listen to your husband, they won't listen to whatever, just start asking God to send a Philip into the lives of your children. He will do it. He will. And you have standing before God as father and mother. You have special standing that you can invoke powerful graces into the lives of your children. If only you will ask for them. And I'm not trying to, don't get me wrong. I'm not shaming you. I'm sure you already pray. I'm sure you already are anguished in your own way about it. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you're not doing what you should do. All I'm saying is that did you know that you have a special standing as mother and father for these children? And you alone have the power to invoke particular graces into the lives of your children. It's true. Because God chose you to be the mother of that child and you to be the father of that child. So, you know, make use of this special prerogative that you have to invoke and down graces like this into the lives of your children. And God will do it. I promise you that. Because he loves them more than you do. That's one thing. And maybe in this life, you'll never know who the Philip was. Maybe you will. Sometimes, you know, your son may come back to you and say, wow, Mom, is the most amazing thing. You know, I had this colleague at work and, you know, I didn't believe in God anymore and I wasn't going to Mass anymore, but I started talking to this colleague at work and next thing I know, I went to confession. There's your Philip kind of thing. Okay, so that's one thing. Second thing, everybody, as you know, is looking at their phones most all the time. They're just looking at their phones. So make use of that technology and text things to your wayward children. Just text them stuff. Text them links to this program. We have, I don't know, 100, 200 whatever clips from this program on our YouTube channel. And you can go through and just look at all the different topics of things that we talk about on the program. You might say, oh, this might be interesting. And it doesn't have to be the issue that your son or daughter has, but just something that you might find interesting. Grab the link, text it, and say, oh, I was listening to this. I thought it was pretty interesting. Check it out. I guarantee you they will click the link. They will start listening. They will. It's just that's if somebody I know texts me a link to a video, even if Cyrus does it, I'll still click the link and I'll still look at it. I mean, I don't click links from people I don't know, but they know you, right? Okay. So that's one thing. The next thing I would do is related to that would be to encourage your children to listen to relevant radio. And it's easy. All you have to do, go to the App Store on your phone or Google Play. Go to the Relevant Radio app, and there's a share button. Just press the share button and text the link to the Relevant Radio app to your son or your daughter, sons and daughters, as the case may be, and just say, I find this very interesting. He gets into all kinds of different topics. There are a whole bunch of different programs. I thought you might find it interesting too. And then just send it to them. You don't have to lecture them. You don't have to follow up. You don't have to plead with them. You just, it's like the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? Yeah, right. But you can put salt in the oats so that he gets thirsty and wants to drink water because it's inevitable. You get thirsty, you drink water, that is, of course. So what I'm saying here is that put salt in the oats. Maybe if there's something that your son or daughter is passionate about, or interested in, or had an experience about, or something like that, some factoid or information. This is a way that you can begin to put salt in the oats so that they listen to that and they say, yeah, that was kind of interesting, Mom, thanks for that. But then before you know it, they're listening on their own and they're hearing Father Richard Simon or they're hearing Patrick Connolly with The Inner Life, or they're hearing Cale Clark or Timmery or The Morning Program or Drew Mariani. And little by little, what happens is those are like Phillips too. And they go right into that person's mind and heart and things change. So my point here is it's not complicated. It is creative and it's actually very simple and it's free. So try those practical steps, and I would not be at all surprised if some of you are going to be calling me in 6 months and saying, you know what, I didn't think it would work, but I tried it and it worked. Please, God. Let's go to George in Norwalk, California. Hi, George.
Hey, Pat, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. I heard the call for Mary.
Yeah.
It was really touching. I'm in the same boat.
Are you the alcoholic husband or are you the long-suffering husband?
I'm the alcoholic husband. I've been with my wife since we were teenagers, 4 kids, 3 adults. We're going through a divorce. We haven't spoken in a year, but I did the same thing her husband did. Just drink, hard worker. I was a very hard worker, still am.
Yeah.
But just an alcoholic.
Were you checked out of the relationship with your wife?
About a year ago, she just stopped. She had enough. And so we stopped talking. We still live in the same house with our grandchild now. It's very sad. I just wish I could have listened and took it more serious before it got to this point.
There may still be time, George, to fix this.
I pray. My wife, she's the one that got me into Relevant Radio. She doesn't acknowledge me anymore. It's pretty much over. I do pray, and I just ask for God, lead us in the right direction, both of us, for happiness.
Well, I'm glad you're calling me right now, George, because I don't claim to speak for God, but I will tell you that if you just allow this to crumble around you, it will. But if you fight for your marriage, get down on your knees, weep tears of repentance, tell your wife you love her, hug her, kiss her, tell her you love her, tell her you're sorry, tell her this is going to change, you're not going to do this anymore. In other words, fight for your marriage. Don't stand by and let it crumble.
I'm trying. I'm trying. Everything you said, I've done. She's like she's Mary. She's just it's gone too far. She's tired, and I feel so bad. I've repented for everything I've done to her.
Yeah.
The drinking, it's just very sad.
Have you stopped drinking?
I cut back a lot, and I'm being honest. Like I said, it's a disease. I've gone to a couple meetings, but then I fall out, especially because I'm going through a divorce now. My mind's going crazy.
You need to stop cold turkey. You need to cut it off at the knees.
I have to. And believe me, I'm trying. It's not as easy as it sounds, but I'm trying. With God's help, I'm trying. I'm asking. I'm trying to stay away from it. But yeah, that's why I called, Pat. If you can give Mary my email or anything, she has a question, I could tell her exactly what her husband's feeling. Pretty sure I could tell her what he's feeling, what he's going through.
Yeah, I'm sure she's listening, and I'm sure she's listening intently to what you're saying. And that's kind of you to offer that, George. But here's the point. I mean, you still have it within your power, I think, I'm guessing anyway, to salvage your marriage. I mean, do everything you can possibly do. But by all means, if you are an alcoholic and if that's one of the root causes of the problem and you're not willing to just slay the dragon and cut his head off and stop altogether, it'll never work. You know, cutting back, it sounds good. It looks good on paper, but it's not good in reality because what she's thinking to herself, George, I could predict it. She's thinking he's not really serious. If he tells me he's cutting back, he's just not willing to slay the dragon.
Right.
And until you do that, I don't see how this can get any better.
Cold turkey. Got to do it.
You got to do it, man. You got to do it.
I have to.
If you had gangrene, let's say you had gangrene in your leg and the doctor said the leg comes off or you die. Which do you choose?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Pat, that's what I'm going to do, Patrick.
Amen, brother.
And hopefully, hopefully it works. I'm right here in Norwalk. I've listened to you. I go to Santa Fe, St. Pius in Santa Fe Springs.
My parents were married there like a million years ago. Yeah, I have a lot of fondness for that church.
Yeah.
Well, George, I don't want you to feel like I'm barking at you or anything like that. But, I mean, so many people go through what you're going through. That's why if you get a sponsor in AA and you get going in AA and you, you know, if you have to white knuckle it, you white knuckle it. I mean, I've never been there. Right. I've never done that. But I know plenty of people who have. And I know it can be done one day at a time, right? You know, somebody told me this on the show. I think it was yesterday. Cyrus, back me up on this if it was a different day. You can drink tomorrow, but you just can't drink today. I'd never heard that before, but I mean, it really makes sense. You know, just, hey, okay, I'll have a drink tomorrow, but I'm not going to have a drink today. And then tomorrow comes and you say, okay, well, tomorrow, but not today. And you just keep pushing it out, pushing it out. And you, I mean, to conquer it for one day is doable mentally, but to think I'll never drink again for the rest of my life, that's crushing. Right. If you think,
right,
I've got to do it. So if you try that, and I only learned it a day or so ago from somebody who called in, I can drink tomorrow, but I'm not going to drink today. And then you get to the end of the day and then you hit reset. But the main thing is, though, you got to put the brakes on this divorce thing, George. You've got to, because the plane is nosediving into the ground and there's still time to pull out of this dive. But if you don't, it'll impact.
I'm going to do that quick cold turkey, and hopefully the nose of the airplane can go back up.
I want to do whatever I can to help you, George, and I think maybe right now what we all can do is to pray for you and for your wife. But I really do want to encourage you. Let her know. Just tell her in however you can, I'm done with it. I'm sorry. I'm going to change everything. I don't want to lose you. I love you. We've built a life together. I don't want to throw this away. I want to be with you. All of those things. And maybe she won't listen and she won't listen and she won't listen. And then maybe she'll start listening. But of course, it has to be united with your own action, showing her that you really mean it. Cutting back doesn't really mean it. Cutting it off really means it.
Right. 100% right.
I'm in your corner, George. I'm praying for you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk in 6 months, okay?
You got it, Patrick. Thank you. All right. Guys have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Let's take a break, and we'll come back to the phones. We'll catch our breaths. Maybe you can say a little prayer for George and his wife. And I'll be right back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show right after this. Big-time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. Info at charitymobile.com.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Have a question?
Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
We're back, and I'm here for you. So if you want to call this number, please. Sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, 888-914-9149. I'm open for business, whatever you want to talk about. 888-914-9149. How about Linda in Texas? Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Patrick. I just wanted to comment on your answer to the email about the parents who don't have their children back in the faith. And I just wanted to say what you said is spot on. I wanted to share a success story very quickly.
Yeah,
my children are now in their 40s. When they went off to college, one even to a Catholic college, both fell away from the church and were not going to church. Now, they would come with us if they came to visit on a holiday or whatever, but rarely. They are both now fully back in the church.
Awesome.
Lots of prayers to St. Monica as our intercessor, because we know that she prayed so much for St. Augustine, but also St. Monica, but also sending those little text messages. You know, I just started sending
them. Did you try that?
I did. I used it, and it worked. My kids became big fans of Father Mike Schmidt. You know, this has been, you know, several years ago. Yeah, and to this day, they still listen to him. But, you know, it took a while. We got to be patient, but, you know, persevere.
So what would you, I mean, you're already kind of saying it, but if you wanted to put a bow on top, for all the moms and dads listening right now whose children are far away from God, they don't pray, they don't go to church, etc., if you could give them the 30-second elevator speech based on your own experience, what would that be?
First of all, be an example. Continue to live your faith. Pray for them. Pray to St. Monica. And share bits and pieces here and there without preaching.
And text them, right?
Text them, yes. And that's how I mean, text them. They're not going to read emails.
Right.
You know, they don't want a phone call from me. But they will watch those text messages or the YouTube videos or the, you know, those kinds of things. They will click on those. And I really, truly believe that's why they are back in the faith and very strongly back in the faith. I'm very
beautiful,
happy and very proud of both of them. So
what a joyous thing for you and your husband, no doubt, Linda.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now we have a couple of grandkids and we're, you know, they're more motivated. The one who has the kids is more motivated because of the children, and we're encouraging and supporting that as well.
Congratulations. No, texting them things like clips from this program or other relevant radio things and whatever other things like that will help them. It really does work, and it's so simple. Well, Linda, thank you. I'm really happy to hear this great news. How about Ann now in Appleton, Wisconsin? Good morning, Ann. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome. I
just wanted to share my experience growing up. Mm-hmm. My dad was an alcoholic, and this is to encourage Mary and those who are finding their marriages falling apart because of the alcoholism. My dad was like a closet drinker. We didn't know he was drinking. Mm-hmm.
Would he get drunk, or was he just sort of tipsy, or how would you describe it?
He would be angry. It manifested in anger, and we didn't know why he was so touchy, angry about things.
Okay.
And through the years growing up and in high school, my dad was beginning to get violent with my mom and my brothers. And when I finally was moved out and going to college, my brothers and I were very fearful for my mother being alone with my dad. Mm-hmm. And so I talked her into moving in with me in my college apartment. I think
really?
My dad didn't know or didn't realize that she would actually leave him. She had threatened, but he was quite controlling, and he kind of scoffed at her and said, "You'll never be able to, you know, live by yourself," and whatever. Well, she packed up and came to live with me, and a few months later, she told me she needed to go back home and get something. And I said, "Well, wait until I'm out of class. I'll go with you." And she went home by herself anyway. My dad was there when she got there. And she looked at him and said, "It's me or the bottle. You choose." Mm-hmm. And he quit cold turkey. They both had a deep faith.
Mm-hmm. Because he realized this is it. If I don't change, my marriage is over, right?
Right. And she had proven to him that she could survive on her own without him. And the miracle of seeing them together again, holding hands, being lovey, it mm-hmm. brought tears to my eyes, and I'm getting choked up now because of mm-hmm. it was beautiful to see.
How wonderful. And did your dad stay the course? Stay away from the drink?
Okay. Absolutely. To the very end. Even when he was dying of pancreatic cancer, They wanted to give him morphine, and he was refusing it because he was afraid he would slide back into that addiction.
Wow. It takes a lot of fortitude to do that. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, God bless your father and your mother for their patience.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
So I just wanted to share that it is possible to renew your marriage, stick the course, but you have to go cold turkey off the alcohol. If there's any alcohol, it's not going to work.
Right. Cutting back won't fix the problem. It's just kicking the can down the road.
Right. Yep. The relationship has to be more important than the booze.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, what a blessing for your mom and dad. If I may ask, Ann, how many years did they have together after they were able to mend things and your dad got off the drink?
They had a good 25 years before he was diagnosed with cancer.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a victory story. I can only imagine. Yeah. I hope George is still listening, because who knows, George, maybe you've got 25, 30 years ahead of you of life with your wife, if you're like Ann's dad and you just cut it off at the knees.
Yeah. I pray for all of those relationships that are struggling because of that nasty thing called alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah, well, something that in itself can be good can be bad for some people. And you saw that up close and personal with your family. Well, God bless you, Ann. I'm just in awe of the things God does in relationships and giving people the strength to say, I really want to do this, but I'm not going to do it anymore because I value my marriage more than the sensation I get from drinking.
Right, right.
Thank you, Ann.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, too. You just helped a lot of people, Ann, whether you realize it or not. Thank you for that. A few quick emails. This is from Maura. She's listening on the Relevant Radio app. She says, I want to give some encouragement for George. I was on the same situation as his wife. I didn't even think I loved my husband anymore because he kept on saying that he was going to stop drinking, but he wouldn't do it. One day, I told him that was it. He stopped drinking cold turkey. And he became a different man, and I fell in love with him all over again. Just do it. That's a good point, Maury. Just do it. Easier said than done, but just doing it. Joe, listening in San Antonio, he says, regarding George and breaking the addiction, I would never have been able to break off my 40-year addiction on my own. Pray the rosary every day. He says, that is how I went cold turkey, and I've never gone back. Yeah, so true. So true. This is from Susie. And she's listening in Albuquerque. She says, I listen to the woman who has been married 40 years and her husband is an alcoholic and does nothing at home. I am sorry I did not catch her name. Her name is Mary, by the way. I was in that situation many years ago, early in my marriage. I tried everything that she has tried. The event that caused my husband to go to treatment and then to AA was an intervention with family and I, or that the intervention that she and her family did. That might be a suggestion for this woman. I do recommend it is well planned with a person trained in interventions. In reality, my husband has had many serious issues throughout the years, but at least he's sober and is handling them sober. We have not been married for many years, his choice, but again, at least he's sober making these decisions. And she says, I'm praying for this woman and her family. I love your show. Well, thank you, Susie. That's beautiful. Making decisions when you're sober is a whole lot better than making decisions when you're not, that's for sure. And also, real quick, I might as well get to this one. This is a note from James, who's listening. I think he's listening on the Relevant Radio app, I think. He says, I love your program. Here's something that I called about before, after saying what it was I was told. I'm not sure what that is referring to here, but I'll get to the heart of his question. He's referring to a question earlier today from the lady who called in and said she's an evangelical Protestant and she listens to the program. And I guess she's been listening for like 10 years, which is beautiful. And she was having difficulty with the Eucharist being something that could only be valid if a priest, a validly ordained priest, celebrated. So she and I talked about that today. But anyway, he says, Melody, regular and a very appreciative listener as I am, and the wife of an evangelical pastor, called this morning about why our Lord's body and blood are only real via a Catholic priest doing communion. What never was mentioned by you or Melody was that only ordained pastors can administer communion. But in fact, James, I did talk about that. He says, this is significant both for her understanding and your explanation, but it never came up. Well, I'm at a loss to know what you mean, James, because my whole point was that unless you are an ordained priest, and I talked about how at the Last Supper, Jesus not only instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, but he also ordained the priests for them to do what he said to do at the Last Supper. And without a validly ordained priest, you can't have a valid Eucharist. Really, the whole conversation centered on that very point. So I'm honestly at a loss to know what you mean when you say that that never came up. So unless I'm misunderstanding you, but I've read and reread your note several times, I think I am understanding you. I would just say go back and re-listen to that call, and maybe you'll hear part of it that you didn't hear the first time around. But in any case, thank you for taking a moment to write to me. 888-914-9149. We'll go to Sylvia now in Gardena, California. Good morning, Sylvia.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
I've been listening to you all the time. My husband has the radio on every morning, and I listen to all you talk about.
Well, thank you for that.
I was relating to George. I am the recovering alcoholic, and I've been sober for 17 and a half years.
Congratulations.
I, too, had to go into treatment. Things got really bad, and I was so grateful that I said, God, please help me. I can't do this anymore. I'm losing everything. I was losing my husband, and I was also losing my daughter.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I got this feeling that I needed to get help, and I reached out to my husband, and I said, I will do whatever you want me to do. Just help me. And he did, and I was in treatment center, and I came out, and I've been sober ever since. I just celebrated
17 years. That's so great. And I bet your husband is the happiest man on earth, isn't he?
He is. I've never really saw him cry that much, but one Christmas he was crying and he said, God, thank you for bringing my wife back.
That is amazing.
And we've been married for 36 years and we have a 29-year-old daughter and we're still going strong and we're still happy.
That's so great, Sylvia. Well, you've just given a lot of encouragement for men and women who are in the situation you used to be in. Sometimes you just need to see that other people can do it for you to take that first step. Did you have an example in your life, somebody you looked to and said, well, if she can do it, I can do it, or if he can do it, I can do it, anything like that?
I really did. My dad was an alcoholic, and I couldn't understand why. And my mom went through a lot with him, and I never thought that I was going to turn out like him. Mm-hmm. For somebody to come up, you know, I was losing my daughter. They said, if I didn't stop drinking, I cannot live with my daughter anymore.
Were you out of control? I mean, were you violent or were you just deranged? Like you were so drunk you couldn't function? Or for you, if you don't mind me asking, what was it like? Were you angry, violent, or what was it exactly?
I was angry. I was very angry, and my daughter went to her school, and she told her teacher, and they called social worker, and they came to my house, and they said that I needed to stop drinking, or I had to move out, and that's when I reached out to God. I just said, God, please help me, because I can't do this anymore. I am losing everybody, and I can't live this way. And my daughter forgave me. My husband forgave me. And like I said, we're still married. We just celebrated 36 years of marriage, and I'm 17 years sober.
That's so great. So, okay, so maybe I missed that detail. Did you bring alcoholism into the marriage? Were you drinking before you got married and it just got worse? Or did you pick it up along the way?
I was drinking already, but it got worse after I had my daughters.
Okay. I would thank you so much, Sylvia, for sharing this powerful victory with people. It's very encouraging. I would recommend watch the movie The Days of Wine and Roses, starring Jack Lemmon. And it's about alcoholism. And it's a very, very good but powerful movie. If you haven't seen it, I think it came out, I don't know, late 50s maybe, or 1960 or somewhere around there. It's probably in the 50s. But it's, if you want to see a movie that will help you understand alcoholism and the dangers of alcoholism, watch that movie, Days of Wine and Roses. In fact, I think it was Jackie Gleason's orchestra that did the soundtrack for that. So some good music too. Days of Wine and Roses. Watch that movie. And then call me and say, man, I'm so glad you recommended that movie. Days of Wine and Roses. Be right back.